and you are listening to Comic Culture on 93.3 CFMU McMaster Radio and podcasting at comicbookdaily.com and getthepointradio.com. I am Walter DeRiley, Overstreet Price Guide Advisor.
And I am Chris Owen, Professor of Comic History at Hamilton's Mohawk College.
And as always, we are your Beastie Boys. Did they sing that?
Yes, it was Beastie Boys.
Yeah, we are your Beastie Boys.
I want to be Angus McRappiston.
Yeah, yo.
Yo.
Hey, Chris, and as always, we're joined by the illustrious producer of producers.
Yes.
King of Kings.
King of Kings.
Shecky Feldstein.
Glad I picked out a Beastie Boys for you today, Walt.
Yeah,
I knew you'd get it. I knew you'd nail it.
Yeah. I love the Beastie Boys' version of that song.
Oh, isn't
it was great.
That awesome?
Yeah, it was awesome. It was awesome.
Oh, that wasn't the Beastie Boys' version of that song?
No, it was.
Oh,
it was. Yeah, see? That's what I mean. Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Chris,
it was
don't
great.
Scare me like that.
No,
man.
No,
come
sorry,
on.
Sorry. Hey, listen, right. We are here to talk about comics. We're here to talk about comic culture, comic industry news. We've got all things to talk about comics this weekend. And we, of course, are here to champion the local comic book shop as well, hoping that people will go in there and support the local comic book retailer and try something new, try something that they've never seen before. Maybe they might want to pick out a comic, something that has, maybe got Superman in it for a change instead of Batman.
Yeah. I mean, but they have to first go into the local comic
that's right,
shop.
That's right. Listen, we got lots to talk about today. Young Shecky Feldstein, do we have a sponsor for New This Week?
As always, Chris, and New This Week brought to you by Niagara Falls Comic Con, the only place Ernie Hudson could be seen dancing circles around Ecto-1 to the applaud of the masses.
Well, did that actually happen? Did you see that?
That did. Sunday, so the last day of the show.
Yeah.
There might have been an hour left, something like that, and the announcements were going nuts. Oh, Ernie Hudson will soon be making his way to Ecto-1, be there. And I guess he was delayed or detained, maybe he was signing some last autograph, something like
right,
that. He
right.
had to sign someone's hat, I don't know, whatever they do. and then they kicked up the music, and
nice.
I guess he came out. It was an aisle just off to the side of us, right, so I couldn't really see. But I did see dancing figures. I think it was Ernie, but behind the
nice.
Crowd, and he was apparently dancing and doing a boogie down
now,
with
now,
the
do,
car.
Do you remember what was he dancing to? Like what music was it? Like I Ain't Afraid of No Ghosts, or what would you? Or was it some like
I think
unknown?
It was TNT.
Was it?
I think it was
oh,
Beastie Boys.
By Beastie
song.
Boys.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I quick aside. So the boys at Y108, they were down there and.
Are we allowed to talk about other radio stations on this?
No, not at all. Did I say Y108?
Yeah.
You meant
CH? I meant 93.3 CFMU.
Right.
Master Radio. The boys were down there, and they wanted an interview with Mr.
Oh,
Hudson.
Oh, nice, nice.
And Mr. Hudson said, basically in so many words, no interviews, show me the money.
That's right.
Really?
Show me the money.
I didn't think that was right. I think, hey, listen.
Why not, right? Like,
come on, it's a radio station.
Yeah, exactly.
That's exposure.
It's Ernie Hudson.
It's Ernie Hudson.
Yeah.
You know what? All those guys are there to make money.
Yes.
All those guys flying.
You know what?
Weekend.
You have to be smart about it. You know.
I don't know, Chris. You know what? I don't like. We'll talk about Niagara Comic Con, I guess, right now, real quickly
sure.
before we get
sure.
into the thing. But what? How can I say this? Can you help me say it?
What is it you want to say?
Well, I'm going to tell you what I want to
okay.
say.
Okay. Tell me what you want. What you really, really
yeah,
want.
Yeah, I'm going to tell you what I want. What I really, really want to say is that. I don't know. It's getting so antiseptic and without feeling these signings for money.
Yes.
Right?
It's just,
it seems so forced. Even the celebrities, when this all started a few years ago, a decade ago, wherever, it was a novelty to the celebrities as well.
Right.
And
right.
it was a great chance. Hey, these pop culture events, these Comic Cons are a great way to meet fans, interact with fans. Fans come
yep,
up.
Yep, yep.
And I remember in the old days, I remember, going up to Lou. Hey, man, Lou, I was a big fan. Oh, thank
yeah.
you.
Yeah,
we
yeah.
did pictures together. And it was just so, it was much more personal
yeah,
back then.
Yeah.
But even they, after so many cons every year with their handlers telling them
yeah,
this is the way it's
yeah,
be,
yeah.
listen, you just sit there, you say hi, you sign your thing, you say thank you, and you move
you
along.
Move along.
You get more that way, you make more money that
yeah.
way. It's just so. Oh.
So yeah.
And I think eventually it'll turn away.
Yeah.
The fans, because
well,
there won't. What are they going to get out of it?
Well, you want to come back with like a personal experience, right?
Right.
You don't want to just be another schmo in the crowd.
Yeah, I waited 45 minutes in line. He never even looked at me and
yeah,
he signed
yeah.
my underwear, and And now I'm going to go home. I think I'll wash it off. I wasn't going to wash it, but I think I'm going to wash it
yeah,
off.
Exactly.
Because I'm ticked,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So, you know.
No, I know what you mean. So. And, I mean, I used to collect autographs.
Right.
You know, I've got a bunch of Star Wars autographs. And even, actually, you know what? Even last year. I got James Hong's autograph. He was
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I remember
You know, Seinfeld, Four. You
Cartwright, him? Four.
Cartwright, Four.
Okay, you know who that was.
Okay, he's the...
And he's Lo-Pan or Lo-Main in
Lo-Pan.
Big Trouble
in Little China.
Oh, okay, I know that guy. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay.
And he was great. You know what? He was actually getting the crowd going while, like, you know, while people were waiting in line. He was,
yes.
He would, like, be talking to the whole crowd. He was a little bit more personable, whereas other guys are just, like, signing away.
Yeah, he seems like an awesome guy.
Yeah, he was really, really fun. Actually, you know what? I just watched a movie with him. He was also in RIPD, the Rest in Peace Department.
He was, because it was, like, that was his character,
yeah,
the shell.
That was, like, how people really saw... Yeah.
Which I found very funny.
Yeah.
He's a great guy, and you know, if you're like some sort of top cop, you know, running around action hero, and you're in that body, it's kind of amusing.
Yeah.
Anyway, and I know a lot of celebrities listen to the show.
Yes, well, it's the top show for celebrities to listen to.
To listen to, and so our advice to you is when you go to these cons, hey, bring it back to where it was before.
Yeah.
Take, you know what, sign a third less autographs. Interact with the people, smile, say hi, look them in the eye, you know, spend an extra 6 seconds with them.
That's right.
It'll pay you back in spades eventually because this is just going over a cliff this way.
Yeah, right? Exactly. And you know what? I mean, I don't mean to be mean to Ernie Hudson, but like to demand money for an interview, you know, you do the interview and then people know that you're there and then you can charge more money because all of a sudden people are going to get autographs from
right.
you.
Right.
Right. Like that's like there's a process.
Anyway, we'll just leave it at that. I've hijacked the new this week. Apologies.
That's all right. No problem.
Yeah,
no problem.
Can talk about comics or what, guys?
Yeah. Eventually. Okay. You know what? Let's speaking of celebrities, I'm going to start with this one. Are you guys? You know what? There was at the Niagara Falls Comic Con wrestlers. Old time wrestlers were there.
I thought you were going to say beer nuts.
Well, there was that too.
Yeah.
Then there was Cleavage was there too.
There was Cleavage.
Yes.
I saw him in aisle six. I saw him a couple times.
But there was wrestlers there. Mm-hmm. Demolition or Axe and Smash or whatever those guys' names are. Or something
yeah, and
like that.
The Busy Bees. Or
Busy Bees.
I don't know, the Bees.
The Killer Bees.
Yeah, oh, okay,
killer
yeah, bees. Yeah.
Yes, anyways, the Killer Bees were there. So there is in case you're listening to the show and you're a wrestling fan, you may not know that there is a current wrestling comic book out there. And this one is actually.
I didn't know there was a
current wrestling. So this one is called WW Superstars. And it's up to issue number 5. But this is a good jumping on point because this is part 1 of 4. But here's the interesting part is that it's kind of presented in a Tales from the Crypt kind of way, where it's got Mankind, who's got like a leather face kind of look to him, and he has a sock puppet. Anyway, he helps to write and create the whole thing. And so he introduces the story, and then you get wrestling stories after that. And it's actually kind of a neat-looking idea. And, you know, it's of course it has all the WWE superstars in it, and this one happens to have Rey Mysterio and CM Punk and Hornswoggle, whoever that is.
Hornswoggle.
I don't know that guy. But well, just open up the front page of that book, and the first page is actually really an awesome painted cover, a painted page.
Oh, excellent. Yeah,
yeah,
I
it's
like
pretty
that.
Neat, eh?
Oh, wow. Hey, listen, that is WWE Superstars number five. Thanks, Chris.
Yeah.
Number 5, and that's available today at your local comic book shop.
Okay. Listen, next up we've got Deadpool number 30, which is part of the original Sin storyline. And that's going on in a lot of the different Marvel comics right now. But I chose this one because not only because I'm a Deadpool fan, but this one has a couple of guest stars.
Mm-hmm.
It's got Nova for one. But after
Nova, Nova,
and then but more importantly, it has Dazzler.
Oh,
and you know who doesn't love Dazzler? X-Men number
130.
X-Men.
Number
I was close.
Yes,
close.
Very good.
Was it in the 70s?
Yeah, really, but there's a quick story behind Dazzler. Dazzler is one of those failed things because the idea came to them in 77, 78.
Yeah,
right.
At the height of disco.
That's
but then there was
you know.
Problems with getting it started, and there was, you know, these, mm-hmm. these old fuddy-duddy guys were up there and go, let's you know.
It's a bad idea.
No, yeah. And then eventually, 2.5, 3 years later, the character comes out.
Yeah.
But disco is dead.
Disco's dying, yeah.
So they put her out at the absolute worst time, and of course, the character, I won't say tanked, because she's still around.
She's still around, yeah.
But
hey, she's keeping disco alive.
She had her own series for a while.
Yeah, I know, but it could have been a lot more. It could have been more relevant.
Yes, you're right. You're right. I'm a Dazzler fan.
So am I.
I like the character. I think it's a neat character. She, especially in the white jumpsuit kind of thing, and she's got a little disco ball necklace going on.
With the Farrah hair.
With the Farrah hair and the groovy makeup. I like the character. Hey, you know what? There was an issue of... Secret Wars. Remember that old 12-issue miniseries, Secret mm-hmm. Marvel Superhero mm-hmm. Secret Wars? She actually took out Galactus in one of those issues, I believe. So you know what?
Anybody can
do that.
What are her powers?
She transforms sound into energy. So because she's always around the disco, she's always getting full of energy, and she's got lots of powers and stuff.
Is she like a mutant or something?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Yes.
And all right. She takes sound
and
does it, while she's on roller skates.
Well, she's always taking in sound and can convert it to energy and can use that energy to fight crime, as it were.
On roller skates?
Yes.
Okay.
Sometimes.
Yeah. Sometimes.
If the occasion calls for it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, listen, Deadpool number 30 is available at your local comic book shop today.
All right. And lastly, now this is just one of the many issues that are coming out lately this week as well. DC is putting out alternate variant covers for some of them, not all of their titles, but for most of their titles.
Yeah, you know what? I was stocking the shelf yesterday. Almost all of them.
And almost all of them. But like I saw, like, Constantine didn't have one, right?
You know?
But basically anybody that has a girl in it, or even not sometimes, because even Detective had Poison Ivy. Anyways, there's a Bombshell variant cover. So they're kind of doing like a pinup issue with like the girls in it, as if there's like you remember like the old wartime kind of pinup girls.
Yes.
They're doing the same kind of thing, and even sometimes they even make it look like it's an old wartime propaganda type poster. For example, this one I have here: Superman, Wonder Woman. They've got Supergirl and Wonder Woman. And it's got "Join the Fight, Women Unite for Freedom."
Oh, it's like Rosie the Riveter.
Exactly.
On the
cover. Exactly. Yeah.
Wow, that's wonderful.
Yeah.
So Superman, Wonder Woman. Number 9 is available at your local comic book shop today.
Yeah.
And Chris, you did, it was what, 6? How much did you do?
40.
40?
Yeah.
And there's literally 20 times that.
At least.
New and fresh at your local comic book shop today. So please head into your local comic book shop. Check out the new this week and peruse.
All right. Listen, I believe it's time to have a musical interlude.
As always, Chris, this is the time,
and
we got something great queued up for you.
Perfect. All right, let's hear it.
Spring was never waiting for us, girl. It ran one step ahead as we followed in the dance. Between the parted pages and repressed in love's hot fevered iron, like a striped pair of pants. MacArthur's Park is melting. All the sweet green icing flowing down. Someone left the cake out in the rain. I don't think that I can take it, 'cause it took so long to bake it, and I'll never have that recipe again.
Understood that song. Oh, it's a guy's problem.
I don't know. Apparently,
suck it up, tough guy.
Apparently, he baked a cake and left it out in the rain. I don't know. Yeah.
Man, oh man.
You know who loves to play on that song is The Simpsons.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
They love to play up that song.
Is that why we played it today?
Yeah.
I'm thinking,
yeah.
What the heck does this have
also
to do
because
with comics?
When Chris suggested it, I know that you hate it, so therefore it was definitely in.
I just, it doesn't make sense to me. Yeah. Just, you know, he's not talking about a girl. Maybe he is.
I think,
I think so. Oh, no.
It's all very, very cumbersome analogy. It really is what it is.
Yeah. He wants his cake, and he wants to eat it, too.
That's right.
Nice.
Yes, but someone left it out in the rain.
So it's wet.
Maybe.
Okay.
I don't quite.
He got locked out?
Got like locked out.
Kicked out for the night?
Yeah, that's right.
All right.
All right, listen, let's continue on here. We got to talk about industry news. And, of course, as always, we do have a sponsor for industry news.
Mm-hmm. Industry news, part one this week, brought to you by Wrestling's The Busy Bees, wrestling's greatest duo with the best work ethic around.
Yes, the Busy Bees.
The Busy Bees.
Oh, nice. We have to talk about mail as well.
Well,
why don't we do that? We'll
the
do
mail
that.
Is brought to you couple, by the Busy Bees.
Yeah.
Okay, fine. Mail's been brought to you by the Busy Bees.
You know, send the Busy Bees an email saying, listen, the mailbag is where you want your ad.
Yeah, that's where we upgraded.
That's the
you
most
for,
listeners.
You know what? We upgraded you for free.
Yeah, for
if
free.
If we wanted to Ernie Hudson it, we'd be asking for more money.
More
right
money
now.
Right
but
now.
But we're going to let it go.
Because pretty well, most people shut the show down after. What's it called again?
Mailbag.
Mailbag. Thank you. Yeah.
What am I listening to?
That's
oh,
our best
God.
Bit. Yeah. Right. Okay. So good. So,
all right. Listen,
do we have a mailbag?
Yeah, is that what we're
No. No, I'm just kidding. Okay. Oh, we do have a mailbag. Now, I don't know, about a year or 4 years ago or something like that, Keith from Fort Erie, Ontario, wrote to us, and for many, many times, we said we'd get to his email next week.
Oh, that's the one that you said, I'm going to ignore this. This is a piece of crap email.
I never said that.
Oh, okay.
I never said that. Anyways, he saw you guys on the weekend at... the show.
Shecky and I met Keith.
Yes, I unfortunately was not there on Sunday.
Right, and we, and he's a very nice man.
Yep.
Come up, said hi.
That's not what you told me earlier.
I'm Keith. Well, listen. You know, we had to listen. Chris, you know how it is when you, like, when somebody's mad.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's a partnership.
Right.
You always blame the guy that's not there.
Absolutely.
Guess
what
happened?
Oh, yeah, here we go.
He blamed you.
I'm sure. I'm sure.
And he's got a hate on for you.
I don't blame
Keith.
Him, really.
Oh,
I'm not surprised why.
Thinks you're an ass.
That's why his email started.
Could you imagine if you actually met him?
Yeah,
I know. It's
lucky
true.
He wasn't there. Yeah.
His email started with two words, and they weren't Merry Christmas. Anyways, listen, he did. Actually, the first two words were Hey Guys. He says that he wants to inform the listening public that he's always looking for Magnus Robot Fighter comics, and he has a question about it because he was thinking about them, and back in the day they were published by Gold Key. So he said that after he was looking at, you know, some comics published around the same era by Gold Key, the artwork was identical, meaning that it was by the same artist, he says. I've never considered the idea that artists employed by a certain publisher would work on different comics or publications, but was under the impression that they'd have their one project. And then I started to consider the various comics worked on by the legendary Stan Lee. From what you guys have said nowadays, it sounds like as if an artist is assigned to a specific project. In your opinion, when did all this change, or do you believe it did, and why? And also, not to be greedy, I'm also still curious about your opinion regarding the Disneyfication of Star Wars. Thanks much for your time, Keith from Fort Erie.
All right, Keith.
Cave. Oh, listen to Cave.
Right then, Cave. I think it changed when back in the 40s, 50s, 60s, even 70s.
Okay.
Most of these guys were house artists. Even, you know, legends. Like, can you imagine Kirby now?
Yeah.
Can you imagine a Kirby now? Yeah. He'd own his own companies.
Oh, yeah,
forget
for sure.
Forget about Billy Lee. What's the guy's
Billy
name?
Billy Lee.
What's his name? Lee.
Stan Lee.
No, the other kid.
Jim Lee,
yeah.
George Lee. Fred Lee.
And Bendis and all these guys.
Yeah.
Well, artists, okay?
Yeah,
forget
yeah.
about Hank Cho. Forget about these
Hank
guys.
Hank Cho.
Right?
I love Hank Cho's artwork.
So,
good old
but
Hank.
Back then,
good old
they
Hank.
Were all like, you know, it was all like a different, you know, it's like the movie studios.
Right.
You worked for RKO. You worked for
Right.
And I guess what would it be in the 80s, 90s with the advent of your Miller guys?
Yeah.
That the creator or not the creator, the writer and the artist started taking over.
A little bit more control.
A little bit more control. It's like, hey,
yeah.
And then they can pick their projects.
Yeah.
And that's where we're in now. I don't know exactly but where the yes, defining moment that changed
But yes
was.
And no, because there are still some artists that sign contracts
yes.
to companies.
Okay, but
for
exclusives. Type.
Yeah, exclusives, yeah.
But how can I say it? I mean, until they get really, really big.
Right. Yeah.
Whereas, let's take the 60s in Marvel. You know that Ditko was working on Strange Tales
yeah,
and Spider-Man
yeah,
at
yeah.
the same time. You know Kirby was doing FF. He was doing Thor. You know,
yeah.
like these guys were given their mandates and they were...
John Romita was doing Spider-Man and some sort of love comic or something.
Right, yeah.
Right,
I think Our Love or something
Our Love,
like that.
Yeah.
And I don't know exactly what the date was, Keith, but the transition from title being the precedent and character being precedent to artist
yeah,
controlling
yeah.
the sales of a title.
Yeah.
Because, you know, in the 90s, whenever when Liefeld or Lee went to
McFarlane
a title,
and
McFarlane, the sales spiked up.
Yeah,
I don't
yeah.
think you could say that when Spider-Man switched from Ditko to Romita
no,
to Kane.
No, yeah, yeah.
So, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Yeah. So at some sort of time, the artists and the writers became celebrities onto themselves.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they're like, you know, Frank Miller being the obvious
yeah.
one. And yeah. with that, though, becomes that they don't want to work at a desk doing a title for 5 years. They want to have artistic freedom.
Right.
They
right.
want to do an 8-issue arc and then leave.
And then do something else.
And do something yeah. else. Yeah. And so I think it's there.
Yeah,
right?
I agree. Yeah,
now,
I agree.
I'm going to pass over the Disneyfication of
right.
Star Wars to you because you're a Star Wars guy.
Well, you know what? I really don't. I don't know if it's going to happen or not. I think with so basically the question was: is Disney going to take over Star Wars too much, and is everything going to be? Is Star Wars going to become Disneyfied? Right? Like, so are we going to have everything become Star Wars all the time? Right? And I think we're already at a point where there's a lot of Star Wars already out there.
We need a Star Wars station on TV.
Yeah, see, right? Like, yeah. I mean, I could see Disney doing something like that. And I think Disney is already having, you know, they're probably planning more Star Wars theme park stuff.
Yeah.
You know, they've got one ride, but then they have shows, and they want to have more of that kind of thing going on.
Mm-hmm.
I know they want to have more Marvel stuff in their theme parks now. They want to have, like, entire theme parks devoted to those properties, right?
Right.
So, you know, I don't know if it's really going to hinder the Star Wars franchise. I think we're past that already.
Mm-hmm.
I think if this had happened 20 years ago, I would have been horrified that Disney was taking over the whole Star Wars phenomenon. But now it's already so watered down. Like that canon, that core three movies that appeared in 1977, 80, and 83.
Yeah.
You know, for a long time, that was gospel. Nothing else could possibly touch it.
Kind of still is, though. Everything's built off of it.
But everything's built off of it, but there's so much more out there that is now considered to be part of the true, what I'll call the true Star Wars universe.
Yeah.
Like, for a long time, like you would never really count the comics as part of the true Star Wars
yeah,
universe.
Yeah.
Or you would never really count some guy that happened to write a novel about it.
Yeah, but what's wrong with that, though? That's a good thing, no? Like, why limit Star Wars to those three movies?
Well, and this is the thing, right? So now they're expanding it even more. So you really, like, I guess the purists wanted to have it limited so that they could say, well, that never really happened.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's, just like comic book collectors are completists.
Yeah.
People want to know everything that happens with the Star Wars
yeah.
canon.
Yeah. You know, and the purists going to comic books, equating it to comic books, what purists yeah. hate, what Silver Age, Bronze Age purists hate, is the retconning going on right now. Where stories are written right now, and they kind of, to make things make sense with the way they want to write it,
yeah.
they rewrite the history of something that a storyline that was written in 1969 or 1974.
Right.
And the purists are going, oh, you know, they're tinkering with the old stuff
yeah.
and they're changing it and it's frustrating.
That's
for
right.
the purists. But at the end of the day,
it doesn't really matter.
Yeah, it keeps
you
the
know
content
what?
Going. You know, give me more
yeah.
Star Wars content.
Yeah.
I
yeah.
love Star Wars.
Yeah,
it's
me too.
Great
yeah.
property.
You know, I was one of those guys for a long time saying, well, you know, I only pay attention to the movies.
Mm.
And then the new movies came out, and then the TV show came out, like this Clone Wars TV show came out, and then there's all kinds of games and stuff. I just figured, you know what, bring it all in. Like, you know what,
well,
I don't care.
Thing,
I like all,
right?
I like
that's,
all of it.
That's the thing. you could pretty well, if you are, can you imagine the meeting at Disney?
Yeah.
They're coming in for the Star Wars meeting, you know, and they got the big scotches and the cigars.
Oh, well, yeah, of course.
All right, JB.
Listen here, JB.
Listen here, JB. So when they're mapping out the story arc, the grandiose story arc for Star Wars going forward, perhaps they're mapping it out in sequences of, you know, we'll introduce this concept in the video game.
Right, right.
We'll introduce this concept on the animated series.
Yep.
We'll introduce this concept in the comics. We'll introduce this concept in the movies.
Yep.
All concepts will add to the canon,
general
direction, but they'll all be coordinated.
Right.
And that, for a Star Wars fan, is unbelievably good.
Absolutely. And you know what? The reality is that now, I mean, before it was George Lucas was gospel, right?
Yes.
He owned it. What came out of his mouth for Star Wars was...
Came out of his mouth?
Was true, yes.
Right.
Now a conglomeration, a big corporation owns it, where there's many writers, and there's many ideas, and there's many thoughts and systems and beliefs.
We just hope that the writers are...
fans.
Coordinated, though.
Well, they may or they may not be.
But that's not good.
But you know what? How do you know if some guy who's writing a comic book about Star Wars is going to have... He may have the same idea as a guy that's writing... Or that like, some toy idea that maybe the two guys have never seen each other. But, I mean, I guess that must have... I imagine it must have to go through some sort of...
What should happen at Disney is all of that should be coordinated in some sort of general loose way.
Like
these are the anchor points. These are the anchor points that have to be connected along the way forward. And then, you know, you can take derivatives here and there, but you know, the main line has to go forward.
Fair enough. Fair enough. All right. I like that idea. All right. Listen, Keith. I hope that answered your question.
Thanks, Keith. And thanks. Hey, look forward to seeing you next year at the con. We'll make sure we bring Owen.
Thanks, Keith. All right, what do we got up next here? Let's are we doing another musical interlude, or are we doing industry news?
We can go for a brief musical break.
All right, let's have a very brief musical interlude here, and that'll bring us back to the new industry news, the real industry news.
Finally, industry news.
That's right. Here we go.
Through my window today, could have tripped out easy, but I've changed my way. It'll take time, I know it, but in a while you're gonna be mine, I know it. We'll do it in style, 'cause I made my
love that.
Lantern.
Ain't got nothing on me.
Ain't got nothing on me.
Love it. Love it. Who was that again?
Great Donovan.
Donovan, right. Mm-hmm. Donovan.
Donovan had that other one, the other great classic 60s song that everybody has the stupid butter thing, you know.
Butter.
They call me mellow yellow.
Oh, is that him? Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah.
Just butter it. And it drives you crazy because the song was They Call Me Mellow Yellow.
Yeah, yeah.
Quite rightly.
Quite right, yes.
Yeah, quite rightly.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. Sorry. Was he the same guy from the Flintstones?
Chris, don't ask me too many questions. Okay.
You know, the Yeah Yeah Yeahs or something like that.
No, that was the Way Outs.
The Way Out, Way Outs. Gonna go way out, way out.
Yeah.
That's where the fun is.
Ay, Wilma.
I love my Wilma.
Where'd you get the chicken?
Oh, that was great. That was when the Swedish...
In the living room.
That was when the Swedish guys came to visit Flintstones. Yeah. That was good. Yeah,
They ate Fred out of house and home.
I am Olaf, he is Fred. Listen, we got to talk about industry news. Let's talk about new this week. Industry news. What do you got for us, Shecky?
All right, this week's industry news, finally, the real industry news, brought to you by Disney, who is now Disney-fying Star Wars. For our next trick, Disney-fying politics.
Oh, wouldn't that be nice?
Yeah.
Listen,
Vote for Mickey.
Vote for...
Oh, vote for me.
Oh, boy. There is a big election coming up in Ontario in the next couple of days.
It is very big. It's
I wish I could vote for Mickey.
Yeah. Do you know that they're actually trying to include, now I don't know how far outside of Ontario this goes, but they're actually, because of all of all the people who go in, and what is it, they forfeit their votes by just, you know, X-ing everyone.
Oh, yeah. People do that.
Now they're actually thinking, they're considering of actually putting a I choose none of the above and a comment section. So you can actually go in and actually say,
yeah,
it's not that I'm a moron who doesn't know how to fill out a ballot. Mm-hmm. It's that I don't like any of these representatives, and this is why.
There is a way of doing that legally without just scratching it out, because apparently if you just scratch it out, it becomes a non-vote.
Right. And you're just seen as like a moron.
But there is a way of doing it. I think you have to like take it back to the person that gave you the ballot or something like that. I don't know all the ins and outs.
So just, you know, very quickly, the neat thing about that is, this, and I completely agree with it, this will get a lot more people out voting. If you can now be told, you know what, everyone should go out and vote.
Woo!
And
I cannot wait, honey.
And have
I'm going to go
opinion.
Out and vote tonight, not to vote.
But if they know they don't have to actually vote for someone, then they can actually do that and say why they're upset.
Right.
You
know?
Right.
Yeah.
You as that character that you are right there, Walt, I mean, you can tell us why you're upset.
Right, because you get there and you go, gosh darn, sorry. And then you go,
there ain't no free Jack Daniels in here? What kind
of
place is this?
The heck is I gonna write again? Darn.
Okay, listen, all right, reel it back in here.
Let's reel it back in. Hey, let's talk about Chris.
Let's talk about Ant-Man, baby.
Ant-Man.
So
remember
Ant-Man?
Yeah. Remember last week or the week before, at some point where we talked about it where I've forgotten?
Yes.
We talked about that guy that wrote Ant-Man or wanted to direct
Ant-Man.
Edgar Wright Burroughs, that's right.
Edgar Wright Burroughs, that's right.
He quit.
Yes.
And there was a big kerfuffle.
Yes.
Well, now apparently a new director and writer have been found for Ant-Man.
Right.
So the people at Marvel, Disney want to get the ship back on track for that July 2015 release, which was already scheduled.
Right. That is not going anywhere.
So what are the who are the guys?
Okay, so we got...
what can you tell me about him?
So the new director is going to be a guy named Peyton Reed. Now,
Peyton Reed,
he has a lot of TV directing, including The Weird Al Show, Mr. Show, something called The Upright Citizens Brigade. But
is that a porn?
It probably should be.
Right.
Probably should be. But also, he also directed some mainstream romantic comedies such as Down With Love, The Breakup, and Yes Man. Now, I'm not a big fan of those movies, so I'm a little concerned about how Ant-Man's going to turn out based on that. Mm. What I'm
gonna
not...
going to become a rom-com porn.
I hope not. Yeah, I hope not. Listen, you know... Now, a little bit better on that on the scale is the new writer is a guy named Adam McKay. And Adam McKay is a Saturday Night Live writer who has often partnered up with Will Ferrell, and he did some writing on Step Brothers, Anchorman, and Talladega Nights.
All right. Well, those are funny flicks.
Those are good movies. Yep. However, how much of that is Will Ferrell, and how much of that is, Adam McKay?
Okay, this is Adam McKay. This is Adam McKay, third night in.
Yeah.
Hello? Hey, Will? Hey, what are you doing tonight, man? Not much. Why? Well, come over. Sure. Well, what do you need? Nothing.
Nothing.
Right, so maybe he'll get him to help.
Nothing. Just thought maybe you might want to come over and have a drink or two and look at a script I'm working on.
Yeah, maybe help me write Ant-Man.
Ant-Man. Have you ever heard of Ant-Man?
Yeah.
So, you know, here's the thing. Edgar Wright was working on that project for a long time. And I wish they could have come to a consensus to have his version and the Marvel version kind of combined.
I mean, we whipped this horse to a dead horse.
I know. I'm just saying.
And he wanted to do a standalone. Marvel wants a continuity movie. See ya.
Yeah.
And that's it.
Now,
so,
interestingly enough, Ant-Man is the... should I even talk about this? The fact that Ultron... So Ultron, the next Avengers movie is going to be called The Avengers Age of Ultron. And that comes out May 1st, 2015.
Mm.
Now, Ant-Man opens up July 17th, 2015, so a few months after Avengers. However, Hank Pym, is the at least in the comic books, is the creator of Ultron.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, we don't know what's going on.
How
there.
Is that going
to
work?
Tie it together?
Are they
going to?
Yeah,
I know,
right?
Yeah.
So
now, I think I must have mentioned this before on the show. I don't know of one character in Marvel, the most important Marvel character of all Marvel, ever,
yeah.
is Hank Pym.
Yeah,
Hank Pym is so central to the Marvel universe that I don't know. Like, you know, Reed Richards, no. Hank Pym usurps Reed Richards in terms of the connectivity. Hank Pym is almost the wellspring
right.
from which so many things have been created, including your Giant Man, your Yellow Jacket,
right.
What do you call it? Ultron.
Yep.
I mean, Scott Lang even.
Yep. Well, I mean, he was first appeared in Tales to Astonish,
number 27.
That's actually before the Fantastic Four, right?
A month after.
Okay. Right. So, well, hold on. Hank Pym appeared before Fantastic Four, didn't he?
No, Hank Pym appeared a month after Fantastic Four.
When did Ant-Man appear?
Like 8 months later.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Okay.
But,
all right.
Yeah. So Hank Pym, very important. They have to get this right. They have to make this Ant-Man Marvel continuity thing right. That's why this guy left.
Yeah.
I hope they get it right.
I hope they do too.
That's all
I hope they
say.
Do too.
All right.
Speaking of comics, as we are right now.
Mm-hmm. Hey, listen. I want to quickly mention.
Okay.
We're on 93.3 CFMU.
McMaster Radio.
McMaster Radio. And while we were at the Niagara Comic Con, check in. Because you were AWOL.
When?
I don't know where you were.
We don't even know where you were.
What day?
You there, Chris?
I was there all day on Saturday.
You were?
You know, why you got to be like that?
Okay. Well,
you still owe me money,
Shecky,
by the way.
Shecky and I were... Shecky and I were out basically trying to garner new listeners.
Right, right.
So we want to welcome new listener Karen.
Oh, nice.
Karen was at the con.
Yes, Karen.
Right.
And she was kind of fluttering her eyes to Shecky because Shecky's good looking.
He's a good looking young boy.
And so Karen goes, "Oh, Marty has a radio show? Nothing about me." And
yeah,
you.
No,
yeah.
Yeah.
He's
well,
I go,
Marty's
I,
big
I,
time.
He's the star.
That's right.
So, Karen, if you're listening, please don't comment. Please don't tell us exactly
Karen,
how you feel.
Karen,
about
I hope
this.
You like the show.
But the good news is she probably won't be listening next
I'm
week.
I'm sure she will not.
Anyway, so we welcome Karen and Shecky and I. That's what we do, right? We go out there and we work.
That's right. We work the room.
We spread the good word.
Yeah.
You know?
And she'll tell two friends and so on and so on.
All right. Wasn't that a hair commercial back
I'm
in the
sure.
70s?
I thought I made it up.
Maybe. Listen, we got to continue talking about comics here. Now, well, you're a learned man when it comes to selling comic books.
Sure am. I can buy them better than I can sell them.
I believe that. Comic Connect.
Oh, the good boys down at Comic Connect.
Comic Connect had an auction.
They've had many, actually.
Yeah, well, they had the collection of a guy named John Wise. And here's a guy that was so wise that he started buying comics when he was a young boy in Rockford, Illinois. Rockford. I used to love that show, Rockford.
Rockford Files. Yeah, James Garner.
Yeah, great show.
Oh.
Listen, so he sold... He's
a gambler out in the Wild West.
Yeah, he was. That's right. Yeah. Maverick.
Oh, that wasn't the same show?
No.
Okay, never mind.
No.
Keep going.
Thanks. Anyways, according to the auction, apparently everything sold for just over $1.5 million.
Nice.
So top book sold for $182,000, a Flash number one graded at 9.2, a Detective Comics number 27, which is the first appearance of our favorite character, Batman. Now that was an 8.0, mm-hmm. but that's only sold for $137,000.
That tells me it was a restored.
It had to have been restored,
copy,
right?
Yeah,
because as you and I reported a year or so ago or 2 years ago, mm-hmm. that an 8.0 sold for like $1.5 million.
Yeah. And the next 8.0 will sell for $2 million.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
So
it's ridiculous.
Anyways, lots of great comics being mm-hmm. sold. Superman number one, which was graded at as a mere 1.5. What mm-hmm. is that? Is that like a poor?
No, that's fair to good.
Fair to good.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that sold for a mere $58,000.
Peanuts, pocket change.
Nothing.
I know the buyer of that book.
Do you really?
Yes, I do.
Is his name Walter Duralia?
No.
Oh.
No, I wish it was. I know the buyer of that book, and he's optimistic, and it is one of the keys, and the direction of these keys keeps going up.
Yeah, it's true.
You know? So, hey, you know, I think the odds are with him.
Yep, yep.
Awesome. It's funny. I got there was an email I got. You know, I get a lot of emails.
Really?
Saying, Walt.
People Look, actually write to you?
Yeah.
Oh, surprising.
It's, stuff like, it's usually along the lines of this. Walt, I got like $50. What could I buy that I could put my kids through college with 20 years from now?
Yeah, that's about right.
That's pretty well the emails I get. And, you know, what comics will be worth money 20 years from now?
Yeah.
I get a lot of those.
Yeah, yeah. Right?
And this is what it's come to now. I mean, this is great. John Wise did awesome. These books are great. Flash number one. I thought was a steal at 182,000.
Yeah.
First of all,
this 9.2.
This is the first appearance of the Flash.
Yeah,
it's 1940. It predates Green Lantern.
Yeah.
I think Flash and Green Lantern are on par as characters.
I agree. Yeah,
and yet, you know, an All-American 16, the first appearance of Green Lantern at a 9.2. would get double this, which is a shame. So advantage buyer on that one. So, you know, this great treasure trove of Golden Age that John Wise sold, got great money for. Kudos to him for keeping them. I get this question, hey, you know, what can I buy now?
Right.
And I've come to the conclusion, I think, that you cannot everything, there's so many speculators out there now are dissecting the price guide and the first appearances and potential, you know, property. There is no longer a potential movie deal candidate.
No.
People just after all first appearances of any character now, assuming one day something will happen.
They might strike it rich, yeah.
So really the only way to do it now is kind of you have to kind of play the odds. It's one of those things where you buy up new books.
Yep. Yep.
And you just make an assumption that.
But you can't possibly go out and buy every single new book that's out there.
That's what people were doing in the 80s.
I know.
Yeah.
I know. And I know. And
look what happened.
Right? And they're using them as furniture now.
Yeah. So. But, you know, the only way now, my point is the only way now is you luck in.
Right.
So perhaps a better way.
Okay.
Perhaps a better way is this.
Okay.
You buy a guy's 90s collection.
Mm-hmm.
And you buy it at, you know, 10 cents a book because that's what most of the stuff is worth.
Yeah.
And you buy 5,000 comics.
Yeah,
for like
so you spend 500 bucks. Yeah.
And you just sit on them in the basement.
Yeah.
And you go 10 years later and you just go through them and you figure out what of that is hot.
Is there anything in here that's hot?
That's hot because I can't see another way anymore.
Well, like, but you're right because, okay, for example, you know, 10 years ago, so let's say early 2000s, you may have looked at the books that came out in the '90s, like the X Forces and the X Factors and all that kind of stuff. Maybe it came out in the late '80s,
mm-hmm.
and a lot of those books were still relatively cheap, you know. And now, if you have them, like you might have a Deadpool number one, right? Or you may have an Apocalypse first appearance, right? So you know, I think that's pretty well the only way you can do it, unless you go back and you try to find characters that are a little bit more obscure.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for example, the other day I was down in your office.
Down
in your office.
In my office.
In your office.
Office, okay.
Yeah, yeah. I
find anything good?
Well, I did, as a matter of fact. I found a...
did you leave some money before you left?
No. I found a copy of Satana, which is Marvel Previews number 7.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, I asked you, why does this have such a high price on? You said, well, that's the first appearance of Rocket Raccoon.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
who's in the
Guardians of the Galaxy, which is part of the new Marvel cosmic thing, phase mm-hmm. 2 that's coming out. The movie's coming out this August. 4 years ago, 5 years ago, no one gives two craps about Rocket Raccoon.
Yeah.
Now, all of a sudden, that book is selling for big money because mm-hmm. it's the first appearance of a character from a new movie line, right? So I think you kind of have to do a little bit of research, find out which characters were first appearances that are so obscure that maybe nobody won't care about them, and just start buying up that kind of stuff for 50 cents, right?
I think you're right. I think also there's, believe it or not, I think there's a trough. So what happens is, let's say, the Ant-Man.
Yeah.
Okay? Some sort of big movie deal is announced at X date.
Right.
But the movie is released at Y date.
Right.
Which is maybe 2.5 years away. But at X date, there's such a fervor.
Right.
That everybody rushes to it.
Yeah.
And then if you bide your time, perhaps a year from there, 8 months from there, there's that soft spot where, yeah, the hoopla of the event has died down.
Right, right.
The movie is still 18 months away.
Yeah.
So the book is kind of dipped a bit. And then perhaps that is a time that you can go in and get it. It's funny because somebody at the con, at the Niagara Con, was telling me, hey, did you hear that Ant-Man comic number 35, Tales to Astonish number 35, the first Ant-Man in costume?
Right.
Oh, that book's tanking. Why? Well, the director, they canceled the director, so the movie's not going to be made, so the book is tanking. So people were panicking.
Yes.
And I said to myself, I go, man, I wish I had caught those auctions where the book was tanking, because I would have bought them all up.
Yeah.
Because that was a knee-jerk reaction.
Yeah.
And trust me, a property like Ant-Man is going to get made.
Absolutely.
And it's going to do well.
And now you've got the new writer-director doing, like, does that mean they're going to spike back up now again?
I don't know. But like when I heard that news, what I should have done is ran home and checked to see if anybody was selling a high-grade copy getting maybe 78% of what it was getting 4 months ago.
That's right. Yeah,
And scooped it up. Anyway, so the John Wise collections, kudos to him. Kudos to John Wise for being prudent.
Well, you know what? I mean, here's a guy that was buying books back in the day, because he loved it.
Mm-hmm.
And above all else, people should be buying it because they love the book. They love either the collectability of it. They love reading it. Don't go out there planning on spending, all kinds of money just because they want to retire off of it.
Yeah, my favorite quote from Mr. Wise is, I have to take a few days to let it sink in, and then I'll set up a trust fund for my grandkids' education.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Beautiful.
Yeah, good times.
All right.
All right, listen, I think we should have one more quick musical interlude here if we got one set up there for us, Shecky.
The quickest.
Quickest.
I thought Chris was the quickest.
yeah, you're a funny man. Here we go.
Of course, was Hank Williams.
Hank Williams, yeah, go on.
Singing The Lone Ranger.
That was, that's exactly what it was.
I thought that was Beastie Boys.
No, that was the earlier one.
No, it was good job, though. Yeah, I enjoyed
music
that.
Than that. Come on, cut me some slack. Give me some credit.
All right, listen.
Okay, who was that?
That was the soundtrack for Back to the Future.
Alan Silvestri.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
Okay.
All right.
You know what? You deserve to be fingered for that.
Nice.
Excuse me? Pardon me? Why did I say that?
Come again?
We're all getting fingered by DC.
We're all getting fingered by DC. Listen, DC is giving the finger company, the family, cover credit, finally.
Who were they giving the finger to?
Well, they're giving the fingers,
yes,
cover credit, finally. Now, in case you're wondering what I'm talking about
here. You know how
many fingers there are? I have no idea what you're talking about,
Apparently, there are 88 fingers in the finger family.
Okay, there are 88 fingers, Louis. Listen, Detective Comics number 27, which of course was the first appearance of Batman. Also, there's a little known fact that Bob Kane, who has been credited as the creator of Batman since its inception, there's a little known fact that there was actually another guy named Bill Finger. And Bill Finger was really the driving force behind Batman.
Yeah, he was the writer.
He was the writer. But he's the guy that came up with the Batmobile, the Joker,
Robin. Thanks, Finger, for that.
Basically, sorry, no, we all the Batcave, you know, anything that was kind of cool about Batman to begin with, that was Bill Finger. And Bill Finger was never credited. I believe he was a shoe salesman when he first was working for DC. And every once in a while, he would go and help Bob Kane out with coming up with these storylines. And the guy died like, you know, a penniless, practically. You know, so here we are, finally, decades later. He's finally getting some credit.
Mm-hmm. Now, I read this and it's saying that the Finger family is trying. You know, I'm holding up the John Wise collection thing. So hey,
it's on the same page.
Oh, is it? Oh, there you go, Chris. Yeah, so glad you're here.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're looking for, I guess they're looking for acknowledgement that they want to get Finger credited,
yeah,
for estate purposes, I'm sure.
Right.
Right. And this brings to mind the Lee Kirby,
yes,
battle.
Yes.
But what it really speaks of, really, is we have no idea. We have zero concept of the massive amount of human lives that were involved with the creation of these things that are so important now,
mm-hmm,
that were just kind of throwaway novelties at one
time.
At the time,
yeah.
That were not even considered by the creators as anything substantial, yeah, or important.
I was coming up with some fun ideas.
Yeah,
and
you know, now we're going back and we're going, oh my God, where would this stop? Like,
right,
you know, Ditko, the Ditko family, the heirs,
yeah,
the heirs to Kirby, the heirs to Finger,
yeah,
the heirs to, oh, I don't know.
You
know,
Shazam, was,
yeah,
it Cole?
Yeah, yeah. I don't know. Like, this is, would precedent be? Like, how do you, you know, what's
where
the
is
one, what's the one, well, the comic book legal defense, no, that's not the one I'm talking
what's
about.
That?
What's the other one where they're trying to create a fund, the charity thing, where it goes to pay for these old-time guys?
Oh, yeah. I know what you're talking about. I don't remember what it's called.
Yeah, so basically it's like, hey, it's almost like, you know, sports stars.
Yeah, yeah.
You can be,
yeah,
a, you know, you can be a nothing picture in baseball,
yeah,
and make $4 million a year.
Nowadays, yeah.
Yeah. And some poor schmo back in the 50s, or hockey players,
yeah,
back in the,
yeah,
even the 60s and 70s, you know.
They made nothing.
Making nothing.
Yeah.
They have to go to stupid-ass sports cards things, you know, signing those,
yeah,
sports cards,
that's right,
just to make a living.
Yeah, it's
right?
True, yeah.
And it's a lot of these creators in the 50s and 60s, even into the 70s, they basically got no recognition. They were under contract, so they, and I understand that, you know,
yep,
they legally gave up their rights to make,
yep,
any money,
yep,
off of it. But it's just that it's they need something.
They
have to be rewarded in some way. There has to be some sort of class action thing, that some structure that rewards these families of these creators in some sort of pro rata way, I guess is what I'm saying.
No,
I don't know if that's possible or not.
No, you're absolutely right. You know what? Like, but the problem is, as you said before, where does it end? Right?
Yeah.
So, you know, a company creates. Who created Dazzler? We talked about Dazzler earlier, mm-hmm, on in the show.
Yeah.
Who created Dazzler? Was it the current writers at that time? Was it the artists at the time?
Who was drawing at the time? Was it Byrne at the time?
John Byrne, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Was it John Byrne and Dave Cockrum? Or was it,
yeah,
was it, you know, Chris Claremont's ideas?
Right.
You know,
right,
who was the true creator of it? Like, you know, are we going to know that? Like,
but they were creating for Marvel at the time, so they ceded all rights to Marvel.
Right. That's, right. And that's what I'm getting at. And mm-hmm. But that's the same thing was happening back in the day.
Yes.
For Batman and, mm-hmm, Superman.
So is this a sentimental move on DC Warner's part?
I think so.
Right.
I think so, yeah.
Right.
I think,
because
so,
there's no really legal ground that the Fingers will have to have any kind,
no,
of sort
and,
of financial retribution. Or
they've already said, I mean, I think DC's already said, look, we're not going to give them any more money. As it says here, this is not a full co-creator credit. The cover credit on a special issue, and this, by the way, this is just a special issue of Detective Comics number 27,
mm-hmm,
that this is appearing on. This is just an acknowledgement that was made for the Finger family, saying that this is, you know, he had the Bill Finger had a role in the creation of Batman.
Yes.
And this is a special issue. It's not even going to be on all the regular issues. Like, it's just a special thing, a one-time only deal. So, you know, we may never see the likes of it again.
Fair enough. Okay. Hey, listen, we Mr. the Finger family, we are appreciative as comic book fans of the legacy that Mr. Finger
that's
has
right.
left
that's
us,
right. Yeah.
For sure, certainly. All right, what do we have time left?
We have to talk about either new Niagara Falls Comic Con, or we already did that. So let's talk about Captain Canuck Canada Day special.
All right, so let's remind everybody that across Canada, June 28th, which is the Saturday before Canada Day, most of the comic book shops across the country, or many of the comic book shops across the country, will be receiving the Captain Canuck Canada Day special.
Right.
A nice big 64-page Captain Canuck celebration.
Right.
With two stories, one drawn by Claude Saint-Aubin, which was the original artist on the original series.
Yep.
And the other by George Freeman.
Nice. Who's also one of the original artists. Yep.
And there's a whole bunch of other kind of reference stuff in there, like a listing of all the comic shops across Canada.
That are participating.
You and I here at this show on 93.3 CFMU, McMaster Radio, we champion the local comic book
shop. We do.
And so wonderfully does this comic. It champions the local comic book shop by listing all the Canadian comic book shops.
That are participating in this event?
No.
That
exist.
Really?
Yes.
In all across Canada?
All across Canada.
Every single comic book shop?
As of the date of printing.
Really?
Right, yes.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, that is very cool.
Yeah.
So, and on that day, on the 28th, that comic book will be given away free.
Oh, wow.
By your local comic book shop.
Nice.
So what better way to go in and celebrate Canada Day
than to get a Captain Canuck comic?
Getting a Captain Canuck comic.
I like it a lot.
Designed to celebrate
And by the original
Canada
creators.
Day. By the original creators.
Like,
I think,
original artists.
Yeah, I believe Richard Cumley had a process in the writing as well.
Cool.
Paul Gardner, who I think is the principal writer on that story.
Okay.
I'm looking at Checky here. Paul Gardner, I think.
I don't see why he wouldn't be. He's kind of in charge. He's pioneering a lot of that stuff.
Right. And so we encourage everybody to visit their local comic book shop on the 28th and pick up their free Captain Canuck comic.
That's awesome. I love that idea. I love the fact that it's sort of like a Captain Canuck Day.
Yes.
You know, we're going to celebrate Captain Canuck very close to Canada Day itself. Mm-hmm. It's going to be on the Saturday, I guess. And now, is this something that you're going to try to do every year? Like on the,
yes.
on the Saturday before yes. Canada Day?
Well, yeah, we're going to pick a day every year before Canada Day.
Right.
And I think the Saturday would be the natural
day.
I
would think so,
Or
yeah.
it could be maybe even the Wednesday.
I like the idea of the Saturday.
Yeah,
you know,
I like it too.
Wednesday's already busy with new comic book people coming in as it is.
And Saturday you can get more kids in.
Yeah, right, and parents.
Make a little mini event of it.
Yeah. I like it.
Yeah.
I like
it's wonderful. And, so again, go out there or, you know, Chris will come after you.
I will, yes. You know what, listen.
Speaking of coming after you.
Unfortunately, that is all the time that we have for today.
Yes,
we've run out of time as usual. I don't know how an hour goes by so quickly. When
Chris, spending time with you, it just goes by so quickly.
It's like an eternity. I mean, yeah, I mean, it goes by so quickly.
So quickly. Hey, yeah. I have to remind everybody that Comic Culture is produced by Shecky Feldstein, also known as Marty Berthelmer.
Is that your real name?
I don't know anymore. No. I just go by Shecky.
All right. Fair enough.
And it's – what else do I have to say? It's available at 93.3 CFMU.
Possibly Get the Point Radio.
Podcast at comicbookdaily.com. GetThePointRadio.com. If you want to leave comments and suggestions or perhaps suggestions on how to improve the show.
Or
that's impossible.
Or future mailbags of your own that we can ignore for a month and then finally get to.
Go to comicbookdaily.com, click on the podcast, and there's a comments field at the very bottom.
Yeah, and then you can let us know what you think, and please go out and support your local comic book retailer and have yourself a wonderful day.
See you next week.